Hello, Poke fans. Welcome to the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. I'm your host, Trainer Spike, and with me, as always, are my fellow trainers, Slagkick and Sulker.
You will battle me, right? I know you will, right?
Today is November 19th, 2016, and this is episode 8. Welcome to Alola, our first 10-ish hours with Pokemon Sun and Moon. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of our venture into the world of Pokemon. This week, Trainer Sulker will be leading a discussion about our initial impressions with Sun and Moon. For the spoiler-phobic out there, we are going to keep our discussion to the first island of the Alola region, but first, let's talk about our Poke Weeks. Sulker, if you could start us off.
Sure thing. Obviously, I want to say that I played Sun and Moon for about 10-ish hours, but we're going to make that our full discussion topic, so I guess I won't really focus on that here. Otherwise, I did open up my box of Alola trading card deck for Solgaleo. That's how you say it. Solgaleo.
No idea.
I've been saying it's Solgaleo. Galileo, kind of.
Galileo?
Well, I opened up that box set regardless. And it came with some cool shinies. You can check that out on my Twitter, at Monarch Piratica. But the best card that I got out of there, in my opinion, even though it's probably not the best card, is Surfing Pikachu, because it's so cute. And let's see, I also got the Generations XY box set for the Trainer Box, and that also had a Surfing Pikachu in it, and a Flying Pikachu. And some, like, Vulpix or whatever. And a lot of Arcanine and Growlithe. So I have no complaints there. I also did return to Pokemon Go recently within the last couple of weeks. Pretty hardcore. They've got some great updates now. Wherein if you play the game, like, anytime you do something in the game, it'll track it as a streak, basically. So you can get bonus experience now, which is a great little touch, I thought. I think that pretty much covers it. How about you, Slagkick?
Yeah, I mean, the huge part of my Poke Week has been Pokemon Moon, and as you said, we're gonna focus our discussion on that. It's amazing, though. I'm so happy it's here. I don't think we had our starter plushes the last time we recorded, did we?
I don't believe we did. Correct.
So I have a Popplio. One of the things that's interesting about a new generation is, you know, we still don't exactly know how a lot of these names are supposed to be pronounced, as we've as we are finding out now.
Right.
So, I mean, I've just been saying Popplio, but I guess it's Popplio. I don't know. Mine's name is Awkwafina. Anyway, super cute plushie. I also got a Mega Sableye little plastic figure at Target today. We went to get the promotion for, there's a Pikachu card and a Sun and Moon poster. So, thankfully, that was not, like, super crazy. I think maybe a lot of people didn't quite know about it or whatever, because they seem to have plenty of stock for, you know.
Well, typically for these events, the cards are well stocked. It's typically like the figurines or binders or whatever that they run out of first.
And it's a nice poster. It's a, you know, kind of just the Alolan promo art. It's got like a lot of the new Pokies on it. It's really cute. We also will be talking about the first two episodes of the Sun Moon anime. So very excited. It's been a very, very Pokemon week. You know, Pokemon has basically gotten me through this week in a big way, just with all the anticipation.
Oh, absolutely.
How about you?
Well, so first I want to clarify, I went to the Japanese language and found out what they call Solgaleo there.
You went to the Japanese language?
I did, as a matter of fact. And Solgaleo is, in Japan at least, Solgaleo. So it seems to me like that probably is meant to be Solgaleo.
Cool. Solgaleo it is.
But I like Solgaleo. It sounds like a fancy Las Vegas resort.
All right.
Oh, we're going to stay at the Solgaleo?
So for my Poke Week, you know, there's been a lot of anticipation about Sun and Moon. I do have two copies of Sun and Moon. I bought the, I did the Japanese preload on my Japanese 3DS, and that is a copy of Sun. I got Moon on my North American 3DS. My goal is to be able to, you know, take advantage of having both versions and getting the bonus for the Matsuda method of shiny breeding, where, you know, if you have Pokies that are from different regions, you get a higher percentage chance of an egg hatch being shiny.
Oh, I'm gonna get that Japanese Ditto then, huh?
That is exactly my plan.
I mean, if you'll allow me access to your Japanese 3DS in game, I will definitely, like, grind to get us, like, female thumbnails of the appropriate darters and all of the different things that we want, so...
We can talk about that. I also bought a few packs of Pokemon cards. I got the Alolan starter set that came with Lunara, and I'm really excited about that. I really like the design of that legendary, and I got some really good cards in the packs, so I was overall really happy. I don't know, it's been a pretty Poke-centric week. Been watching a lot of Pokemon anime reruns, and obviously the Sun and Moon premiere, which, spoiler alert, I'm a big fan of, even though I had a lot of hesitation beforehand.
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, so that's about it for my Poke week, though, so if we want to move forward, we can get on to our Muse, or Poke News. Sulker, I believe you have our first news story for us today.
I sure do. We have a report here that Pokemon will be moving from Cartoon Network over to Disney XD here in America. That's going to be the fourth time that Pokemon has changed channels. Originally here in the States, it was on UPN, then it moved to Kids WB, then it moved to Cartoon Network, and now it'll be on Disney XD.
And I think, wasn't it on just syndication before it was actual UPN for like a very, very, very short time?
You know, like, my initial experience with it was with the UPN affiliate, so I couldn't speak to that.
See, yeah, I seem here. To remember that UPN affiliate, which I guess would have been the same one for all of us, probably, being independent like for a very short time until, anyway, we're not going to get into, I guess we're not going to get into the history of Bay Area station affiliates.
No, we won't. To celebrate the anime's move to its new home, Volcanion and the Mechanical Marvel will premiere on the channel on December 5th.
Ooh.
Afterwards, a dubbed episode preview of Sun and Moon will debut. So for those of you who will not have listened to this who will not have watched that anime by December 5th, you'll get a chance to start it there.
And you know, something I found really interesting, and I know this isn't a show about Yo-Kai Watch, but it's really interesting to me now that Disney XD has nabbed both Yo-Kai Watch, the animation series, and the Pokemon animation series. I think they could probably put together a pretty strong block of programming with that.
Yeah, yeah. The like Nintendo Fun Hour or something.
Did you have anything else about that?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
All right, well, my news story is short and sweet. The Pokemon Company has posted... No. The Pokemon Company has posted an English-dubbed trailer of the Sun and Moon anime.
Ooh.
We don't, strictly speaking, know when the regular season is going to start for Sun and Moon. A lot of us are expecting it to be late January, early February, but we'll see. But in the meantime, if you want to check out how the voice acting matches that sick new animation style, there is a dubbed trailer up for your perusal. We'll link you to it over on stabcast.org.
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 And that's about it for my news story. Swaggy, you want to wrap us up?
Well, yeah, but I have a question.
An answer.
Do we get to hear Professor Kukui's voice in the dub preview?
So someone did not do their reading. So I'm going to read you.
Sorry, I usually don't care about the dub, but then I didn't stop to think that maybe we could hear Daddy's voice.
And don't make fun of Daddy's voice.
You just stole my joke. Anyway, moving on. If also on December 5th, along with the Volcanion movie on Disney XD, the Pokemon.com site will be releasing a QR code that will allow you to download Magearna or Magearna or Magearna. I'm like, can we just have the official English Poke Rap, please, so that we can know the pronunciation of these new Pokemon?
No.
Thank you.
Can it be sung by the Team Skull Boys?
Like, yo, yo. That will be available in your Sun Moon game. There's somewhere in the game that you can do QR stuff. I don't think I've unlocked it yet.
You have.
It's definitely on the second page of your menu screen.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I've already scanned a bunch because when you scan 10 QR codes, you then get the opportunity for to go on a rare Pokemon hunt.
What?
And yeah, you can do that for every 10 you scan, but you can only scan one a day, but you get a backlog of up to 10 or something. So it's there's a whole mechanic to it, but ideally you want to start scanning QR codes sooner rather than later.
Oh, and see here, I thought I knew all that there was to know about Sun and Moon mostly. This code will expire on March 5th, so...
Yeah, I've talked Pokemon with you. I know you think you know it all, girl.
The code will expire on March 5th, so as with a lot of these, if you're not on the boat right away, you can have a little bit of time.
I am so happy for this alternate distribution method. I have a lot of people on Twitter who, when they need codes for the legendaries this past year, have been reaching out to me to see if I can hook them up, find someone who has a code for them or what have you. This is going to be really cool because this will basically just be something we can like GIF and then just send to each other in text or direct message or whatever.
Yeah, and that's a nice change of pace because I don't really go to like game stores anymore. Like GameStop, I go there every once in a while, mostly to get Pokemon card codes. So that'll be a nice change of pace.
Absolutely. Slaggy, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I like that there's, you guys said it.
All right.
So that's about it for our news this week. Of course, this is a slim news week because the big Pokemon event and sort of all of the news sources that Nintendo is running right now are all just pointing out the fact that Pokemon Sun and Moon is finally in stores. So with that, I am going to toss this over to Sulker, who is going to lead us in our discussion today.
All right, thank you. Welcome to Alola, a round Rowlet discussion on our first impressions of Sun and Moon. So
Alola.
We're going to Alola, everyone.
Alola.
So assuming that any of us stop saying Alola.
Alola.
We're going to finally get to this discussion. So let's go ahead and start off. We know what versions you guys are playing because you discussed that in your week in review. I'm also playing Pokemon Sun, and that's going to be in American. Slykick, yours is in English too, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about our trainers, since the kind of the first part of any Pokemon game is, are you a boy or are you a girl? This game doesn't specifically ask that, but let's talk
about
our...
Which is awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about our trainers. What did you guys think of character creation?
So I was really impressed that they did not do the gender binary thing. You know, when we did our episode on genders in Pokemon, I think we had even discussed how our ideal would really be more of a system of like, pick which one you most closely identify with. And that is basically what we got here, and I am just stoked about it.
Right? Like, Daddy was like, hey, and by the way, if you haven't caught on yet from listening to this podcast, when I talk about Daddy, I'm talking about Professor Kukui, where he's basically like, hey, we need to take your passport photo or whatever. Like, I thought that was a really great way to do it.
Yeah, and for those of you who have yet to pick up a copy, we can discuss that a little bit here, since it's not really a spoiler. Essentially, Professor Kukui gives you five options on each gender, a various skin tone and basic design. You then select that character, and that's the picture that he takes for you for your like trainer badge, which is something you'll use when trading people or when you're like battling, I suppose. It's something that you can change throughout gameplay, so you're not going to be stuck with that one thing through the remainder of the game.
Yeah, and that's something else I really like. As soon as you get to the first main city of the game, you have access to a barber shop. You can get whatever haircut you want your character to have. You have access to clothing stores so that you can, you know, customize your character's appearance. I really feel like the game took a really great direction in terms of how many options it gave you on your appearance. And also huge shout outs for having like actual like skin tones in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some of my friends on various social media saying that, you know, it's still definitely not perfect.
It is not enough, but it is forward progress, and I'm happy for that.
Right.
I 100% agree here. Moving on. What do you guys think of the beginning first 20 minutes or so, for those of you who have not yet played the game? The first 20 minutes are more exposition, really, than anything else. Spike, you look like you had a thought there.
Yeah, well, you know, what I've been telling people, basically, is that the game opens as if you're playing a PlayStation 2-era JRPG. You know, you're in the middle of a cutscene, very dynamic camera movement, told in a very cinematic way. It was not at all what I was expecting from Pokemon. It reminded me more of, like, the Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness game from the GameCube era. I was super here for it, though. I'm actually a big fan of the presentation. I'm not normally a story-first gamer, but the way that the story is told in Pokemon Sun and Moon, I'm actually very impressed by and really interested in.
Let me ask you, though, since you have played a little bit of both versions of the game, what are your thoughts? Are there any big differences that you would call out?
Well, I mean, the time of day is different between the two, so it was kind of a trip seeing that, you know, scenes that in the even the first like prologue chapter or whatever, it's like if you're playing on Sun, it's in the daytime, you're playing in Moon, it's in the nighttime, and as far as I can tell, that's true regardless of what actual time of day it is in that opening bit. So that was interesting. Some of the rando characters and NPCs have like different Pokemon with them instead of the ones that they, you know, I was used to. So it was pretty interesting.
Fantastic. Psychic, what are your thoughts on the opening?
Yeah, I mean, it really caught me off guard, where basically you just start off FaceTiming with Daddy, and then it just just jumps into that cutscene. I mean, you know, for someone like both of you who's been playing from the beginning, for not to be like do 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 do, and then have like, you know, like the you know, basically the, I mean, then there still is a title screen eventually, like, you know, after you've loaded it up for the first time. But I mean, it's just, it's very, it really sets the tone that, you know, that the presentation of this game is very, I mean, I'm not gonna say like different, it's still a Pokemon game, but there's so much going on here, and that really sets it apart from its past versions, I feel.
I agree with you. My impressions were exactly what you guys are saying here. It feels more like a story about you and the characters that you're interacting with than it does like, you're a random trainer, you go and you do a thing. So I enjoy that there's a little bit more intrigue from the very beginning, whereas like I feel in XY, we did get that intrigue eventually. This starts us off from minute one in that world.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, you get about 20 minutes of play running around with Kukui coming into your house at various intervals without really announcing himself.
Don't need to.
Which we all know is Slackick's dream. We don't have to harp on the point. But you and your mom move to Alola, and your mom is super cute. She's always talking
about... Your mom moved to Alola.
She's always talking about how she wants to unpack the house, and she never seems to get around to it. So she's kind of one of my favorite side characters already.
Right? I'm like, I identify with that.
Yeah. Me too.
So then, it was such a flurry playing for the last like 10 hours straight. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the road to the choice of your first Pokemon, and then we'll get to the choice of Pokemon after that?
I have started a lot of these, so I'm going to let Slykick start this one.
Yeah, so like, you know, usually, you know, and I mean, I feel like it's impossible to not bring up the past games just because there are so many differences. You know, so we're used to, the professor was looking for you, and then you go next door and there's like, oh, there's three types of Pokemon. Which ones do you want? But like Sulker was saying, you know, there's about 20 minutes of exposition or so before you actually get to go and make that choice. And a lot of it, like, you get introduced, like your character gets introduced to Lily, who's that mysterious girl that we, you know, been hearing about since one of the earliest trailers.
Who's that girl?
It's Lily!
And so you kind of find out what she is and the secret that she's hiding. And so basically, you kind of are doing that before you even go into the town center, I guess you could call it, and you have your Pokemon selection. I mean, it's not really a ceremony, but there was, I would say there's a little bit more ceremony to it than usually, like, which one did you pick?
Yeah.
That's a great choice.
I definitely agree there.
I think something that's really cute is that whatever one you pick, it has to also choose you. And then so, like, there's a little short, very short cutscene where it's, like, showing whatever starter you pick, looking super cute, hops over to you, and you pick it up in your arms, and it gets super happy. And, like, I think it's just all these little touches that make it so much more personal. Like, you know, when I selected my starter, like, there were a couple people there watching and in-game, not in real life. And so, like, you know, Professor Kukui is, like, nodding, like, oh, yes, this, you know, this trainer is, and this Pokemon are forming a bond or whatever. Like, you know, and so just, like, I think it's just really makes it a lot more immersive, like, in something that sounds really simple.
Yeah, so what about you, Spike? What are your thoughts on that road to choice?
Well, you know, and I actually strongly agree with what Slykick was saying. I thought that the way that they did the Pokemon also choosing you, specifically, you know, that shot of you holding up your new friend, I took photos of that. I was, like, sending it to everyone I know. I'm, like, squeeing out because it was just so cute. And it really does, like you say, you know, it sounds really dumb because I know we're talking about, like, digital pocket monsters, but, like, I got very attached to my Pokemon, my starter Pokemon, immediately because of little things like that. So much personality that it really comes to, you know, sort of bring the experience together much tighter than I think it has in previous iterations. Sulker, what were your thoughts?
Pretty much echoing everything that I'm hearing from you guys, the ceremony itself was a fantastic way to change that age-old equation of character meets professor. Professor shows you Pokemon. You take Pokemon, meet rival, and move on with your life. In this, you kind of get to meet a little bit of everything spread out over that time, which is something I like. They're not rushing you into it. They're kind of introducing you to the setting over a course of a half hour or so. And then you get to meet your new Pokemon and it gets to choose you back. I kind of wish that there was like a secret option where like 10% of the time it would reject you. Just because I think that would be
so sad.
So heartbreaking.
Rowlet just turns his head head away. It's like,
but let's. I do want to touch real quickly on the that there is a big story event prior to your making the selection. When you are trying to
Tapu Koko,
yes, Tapu Koko. So when you are trying to find your way around the island, you do eventually see Lily prior to meeting her, trying to find her secret, which we won't discuss, on a bridge. She needs your help to get it, and the bridge collapses, and you basically fall to your almost untimely doom when the guardian of Mele Mele Island zooms out of nowhere and saves you and her secret. And that's kind of like your first interaction with... Do the guardians count as legendaries? Do we know yet?
I do not know the answer to that.
I mean, I think they've referred to them as like island deities. Like, I don't think they're counted as quite mythical. I don't think like their base stats are quite the same as like a mythical Pokemon.
I guess that's something we'll have to see as we go along. But so that's kind of just the one big story point I wanted to touch on before moving forward.
Tapu Koko.
Let's talk a little bit about the starter that we each selected and why. I'll kick this one off since I haven't actually started a section yet.
Fair.
For me, I know going into this, and I even listened to our last recording where I was like, oh man, I'm Team Litten always and forever because fire. And then a certain somebody bought me a Rowlet.
It was me.
Yeah, they bought me a Rowlet plushie, and then I fell in love with Rowlet. And then I bought a cape last week, and I realized that it was the same color as Decidueyes. So I went with Rowlet. I named my precious little baby Rowlet McHonzo because I'm Overwatch trash. And oh, it's nature and everything. I have to talk about that real quick because...
I see you digging that 3DS out.
Oh, I was being silent there so that you could cut that out. Was it? So I just wanted to talk about Rowlet's nature, which it's naughty by nature.
Yes.
Like, were you specifically looking for a naughty nature, or you...
No, the first one that came to me was naughty, and its characteristic is thoroughly cunning. So I've got a naughty and cunning Rowlet.
That just sounds appropriate.
It makes sense for who I am. And Slagkick, we know who your starter is, but why don't you tell us a little bit about the choice and why you made it, and a little bit about your baby.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember in the months leading up to the release of this game, I was sure that I was Team Rowlet. I've always been a grass type trainer. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I'd probably say ever since Gold and Silver, I was totally Team Chikorita. Just always really loved grass types. And then it was probably around the time when we started talking about all of the Popplio hate that I started getting a soft spot for the little thing. And so
that's not because we treat you the same way the internet treated him, right?
Oh, that too. I identify with the unloved underdog. So I definitely had made a decision before the game was released to go Team Popplio, and so I actually reset a couple times because I really wanted a little girl Popplio. Even though, you know, Popplio can be fierce and fabulous no matter what gender they are, I just really wanted a little girl Popplio, so I did a soft reset a couple times. I ended up getting one of the neutral natures, because just trying to soft reset for female and one of the special attack boosting natures would have just been a very, very, like, I think there was like a 0.5 or 0.05% probability I was reading on Reddit to get the
combination that you were looking for.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I didn't have any boosted stats, but no subtracted stats. So I was pretty happy with that. And I decided to name her Awkwafina, which is a, if you're not familiar with it, it is a brand of bottled water. But I thought
it sounds so fancy.
It does. And I realized that when she finally evolves to her fullest form, she'll be Awkwafina the Primarina. But I thought it was, I mean, besides the fact that it is a bottled water brand, I thought, you know, Aqua is water, and then, like, Fina kind of has, like, Finn. Like, I thought it sounded nice. It was kind of a little bit of a diva name, because, you know, she's a songstress.
You know, what I'm hearing is a lot of justification for a very interesting choice.
Hey, I could have named named her Fanta.
No, no, you couldn't have. Your game would have deleted itself.
So, yeah, I really, like, and then, as soon as I chose her, and then she hopped over, and I picked her up in my arms in-game, like, I was just, like, immediately fell in love. Just so cute.
And what about you, Spike? Since you've had the dubious pleasure and burden of making this choice twice, once in English, once in Japanese, why don't you tell us a little bit about your choices there?
Well, so the Japanese game, which is the one I played first, I went Popplio, and that's because I wanted to support Popplio due to all of the Popplio hate that we've seen out there that Sidekick was talking about. But for my North American version of the game, which is sort of the one I'm considering my real game, my main game, that one I went Litten. I have been Team Litten since the day the starters were revealed. It was, you know, my Twitter display name for months. I love cats. I love fire types. So you put them together.
Cats.
Slagkick, did I talk over you during your segment?
No, but that's what I do. Sorry about it.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, I really like cats. I like fire types. Litten is just so super cute. I got a Litten plushie when they started selling them over at GameStop. And I just, you know, I'm wearing a Litten t-shirt right now. Like, I am all about Litten. No chance I was going to not go with Litten. I named him Flame Meow, and he's super cute, and I love him, and he is my precious, precious baby.
And what's your Popplio's name?
Oh, that's so it's art in English characters and then pop in kana. So it's art pop.
ARTPOP.
Yeah. Because, you know, it has the whole songstress diva thing going on. I wanted to do a Lady Gaga name. Then immediately after I was done, I was like, oh my gosh, I should have named her Art Pop.
Oh, that would have been good.
I am kicking myself.
Stealing it when I do my run through of Moon.
Perfectly fair.
Which, by the way, I did get both versions in the collection. Yeah, you did. It was super cute. And then we saw that one online where someone turned it into like a makeup kit, which was amazing.
Yes.
I want that. So,
can I just say really quick that, you know, sometimes the starters just kind of have like, you know, pretty move sets for a while. Like, I feel like, you know, even with just like the starting moves you got, like within the first few levels, like you ended up with a pretty good roster of moves, at least for Popplio. Like, did you say that? Would you say that?
I would say
experience?
That about Litten for sure.
Yeah, and Rowlet.
That's awesome.
So, moving forward, let's talk about the next phase of the game, because we do continue forward, like all things. We move on to Route 1, away from our home and the kind of gathering area. You do meet your supposed rival, but he seems like kind of your best friend, which mirrors what we saw in the commercials leading up to the game's release.
Yeah.
So, you're the person who moved from Kanto versus the person, or with the person who's originally from Alola, specifically Mele Mele Island. What are your guys' thoughts on moving forward with Route 1 and into, how do you say the city name? Halui City?
That's how I've been pronouncing it, actually, so.
Slidekick, why don't you kick us off on this one?
Yeah, you know, something that in past games has kind of, and I mean, you know, they've gotten a lot more dynamic over the past couple of years, and I mean, you know, X and Y really set a lot of great foundation for what you see in Sun and Moon, but.
Totes.
I mean, I just think about, like, you know, back to the first game where it's like, oh, go to Route 1. Oh, old man's gonna teach you how to catch a Pokemon. Pidgey, Rattata. Like, the first thing that I noticed...
Having just played Red for a long time, I can identify with that so much.
Is there's, like, right off the bat, like, once you can start catching Pokemon in, like, that early Route 1 area, there are, I mean, I didn't say so many, but there's, like, quite a few Pokemon.
Yeah, the biodiversity of the Pokemon in this game is really fantastic, and for me, engaging, as someone who really does try to like catch one of everything, I'm just in hog heaven up in here.
Yeah, because you're finding like all different types. Like I had 3 bug types pretty quick, a Pick-a-Peck. The thing that was making me so angry is that I could not find a Rockruff for the life of me.
I still haven't found one.
I can tell you where they are later, and because I don't want to spoil that for people who are listening, or I can just send you
one.
I mean,
well, they're already in a special place in my heart.
Gross. But let's talk about once you get to... Well, one thing that we have to mention is that Tauros of Hala's. So Hala is the...
Hala.
What is the phrase I'm looking for here?
The... not Hakuna. That's Hakuna Matata is something else.
Kahuna.
Thank you. It was close.
I kept trying to say Kahuna Matata. But I kept trying to say Kakuna because we're on a Pokemon podcast.
Kahuna rattata.
What an awful phrase.
What awful gaze.
At any rate, so he's for Mele Mele Island. He's the kahuna. And he's constantly chasing this Tauros around the island that keeps blocking you off, which I think is a great way to kind of keep you in bounds for the story that
yeah.
they want to tell.
Yeah. Can I jump in here with a thought about that? Because I definitely agree.
Keep it short, girl.
You know, on Reddit and, like, you know, my own people I follow on Twitter, like, some people seemed to feel that it was, like, very linear. But, I mean, I feel like you really, things were very linear. Beforehand, it's just like, oh, you need cut to use that, or no, don't go there, and then it's just person's like, oh, let me show you around the town, or whatever, you know, like they're like these artificial, not artificial, but like these roadblocks have always been there.
Well, and I think it's just more apparent because there's such a story first focus,
right? But I think that it makes it I like it better.
But
like,
that experience has I think always been very guided. I think this is just being a little more upfront about it rather than doing the roadblocks, like you say, of a bush that you'll need to have cut for later.
Yeah, and you kind of do get that later on routes 2 and 3, and somewhere in route 1 there are those rocks that are blocking you that you can later on open, which I think is a good way they progress the game.
And I like that it allows you to go back and revisit areas.
Yeah.
It gives you an incentive.
So once you've kind of gotten past the first area, you find that Lily wants to take you to the Pokemon Trainer School, which we'll talk a little bit more about during our anime discussion, but for the actual game itself is really just a short segment, which is interesting when you compare the two things later on.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a pretty straightforward area where you could catch some cute pokies, and I see you playing that on your Japanese 3DS right now.
Yeah.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about what happens in the school?
What are you doing?
Well, so in the school, it's funny because in the animation, it kind of seems like the school is going to be like a main setting for a while, but in the game it's just like a little 20-minute event. You have to do like 4 gym battles there, or not gym battles there, but trainer battles there. There's some opportunities to talk to some NPCs. There's a field where you can easily catch Magnemites, but all in all, it's just like
Grimer's
a really
Grimer's there too.
You can get Grimer's there.
Yeah,
because I fought literally like more than 10 Magnemites. That's all I saw spawn, so I assumed that was it.
Oh, no. Wow. Those are Grimers. That's where I got my Alolan Meowth.
Yeah, same.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah, because I've done that in 2 different games and I didn't find anything but Magnemites.
Yeah, it might be at the time of day, maybe.
Oh,
my interesting. My game was showing it at night when I went there, so I caught my Meowth and Muk, or not Muk, Grimers there, and I don't think there was anything else there. But once you finish with the 4 quick student battles, the school teacher, who doesn't appear in the anime, wants to fight you, basically.
Erica.
Yeah, her name's Erica. She wants to fight you.
No relation to Gen 1 Erica.
No.
Presumably.
I believe she has a Magnemite and something else. It was a pretty quick battle. And then once you finish that area, you kind of get into the meat of the game a little bit more. You get to your first Poke Center, where you have the coffee shop, which I am so happy to be able to use.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you guys think of the cafe?
I love the cafe mechanic. I love that you get all your beans there. I love that you get rewards there for using beans. I've gotten several rare candies that way, which has been awesome. I'm a big fan. I like talking to the NPCs there and getting little side quests like, oh, get a filled out Pokédex entry for this Pokémon and I will give you something nice. And it's almost always money, but like having a good steady stream of money is great. I have so many Pokeballs and potions and status effect cures. I'm super loving it. Slaggy?
I also love the names. Like there's one drink called Tapu Koko.
Yeah, that was cute. The Roserade tea. I like that. That was delicious.
The weird milk tea where it's like, you'll wish your mom was a milk tank. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this one.
I mean, that's just Moo Moo Milk. It's been around in the games for like 4 generations or something like that.
Yeah, I think Meltinks were Gen 2, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, no, it's just the phrasing makes me uncomfortable.
No. I mean, I get it.
Meltink money.
She does get that Militank money. Then you kind of get into the larger city where you get to customize your character a bit more. You get a boutique, basically, which is a throwback to kind of X and Y days, where you can pick up from some limited hairstyles and colors. colors. And right next door is the shop, basically, or what do they call it? Like another boutique, basically, where you just buy clothes. Not many options in the first city, but, you know, nice little additions to your character.
Yeah, yeah.
And you also do in the first city encounter Team Skull for the first time. What are your guys' thoughts on Team Skull through the first kind of arc up to when you beat the first trial?
They are stupidly lovable and lovably stupid.
Agreed.
Yeah, and their style's on point, as we've discussed previously.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I really enjoyed their little weird rapping.
I really enjoy that thing they do.
Like, the kind of their, like, their swag, or they think they have a lot of swag, and they're kind of like, yo, 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 and, like,
we're the hardest.
And we also, I think we meet Alima there, or did we meet him before that?
No, I think that's the first time we come across Alima. Although I think maybe didn't we see him really quickly at the school?
Yeah, that's where we first met Alima, and then basically Skull tries to accost both of you, and you're just like, no, you guys just, no, we're ignoring you. Don't, and then they fight you.
Can I also talk about the dialogue options? There's a lot of sassy dialogue options that I'm living for.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about sassy dialogue?
Just that, you know, it ends up really being like the same result more or less. There's been a couple
times.
Yeah,
this isn't Mass Effect.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of times where you'll get a different line of dialogue based on how you respond to certain NPCs, but some of them are just kind of like really sassy, and I think that just ties into the writing in this game is really, really fun.
I agree. So, as mentioned previously, you meet Alima roughly around this time, and he's the first trial captain. We all love Alima's style and however they identify. Let's talk about the first trial, since we're kind of running a little long at this point. The first trial takes place just off of Route 2, I believe, where you enter a cave to capture some young goose. It's a pretty straightforward battle
system. I hate young goose.
Yeah, their bites are annoying.
They're a huge pain.
But essentially all you have to do in the cave is just catch a couple or fight a couple, and then Team Skull shows up trying to mess you up. You beat them, you beat a young goose. But then you finally get to the totem, which is
it's like a boss battle.
Yeah, it's essentially a boss battle.
Which, by the way, I love.
Yeah, it was. Why don't you talk a little bit about that then, Spike?
Well, so you end up doing these trials, and most trials have like an associated totem Pokemon, and that totem Pokemon comes out. It has like a glowing aura. It's like kind of badass, and it's like almost like a super version of like the regular version of that Pokemon. For that first trial for you, was that's Raticate, right? Or am I thinking of a different one?
No, it was.
You're thinking of a different one.
It was the Gumshoes.
Yeah, Gumshoes.
Oh, yeah, okay. And that one, I mean, I like it. I just love the whole concept of fighting these, like, super pokies almost. Because it is. It's very much in the style of, like, a traditional JRPG. You know, you're fighting the boss now that you've fought all these little minions. I just think it brings a really interesting sort of ebb and flow to the gameplay that has been missing in every other generation.
Yeah, the Raticate was from the demo, right?
No, that didn't happen in the demo. Or maybe it did.
I don't know where I'm thinking of Raticate then.
Regardless, so once you beat this challenge, you get your first Z-Stone, which is awesome. It's the normal-type Z-Stone, Normalium Z, which will allow any of your normal or Pokemon with normal-type moves to use a Z-move. We won't go into what that move is in case you want to use that in your play. And then having completed your first trial, you then get to travel on further looking for Lily and her secret again. Spike, you had a point?
Oh, I just want to say I went to Pokemon.com and they clarified, Alolan Raticate is the totem Pokemon of the trial that takes place in Verdant Cavern on Mele Mele Island in Pokemon Moon. Gumshoes appears as the totem Pokemon in Pokemon Sun.
Oh.
Wait, then how did you fight the Gumshoes there, Slykick?
No, see, I was referencing a walkthrough for our discussion.
All right.
The funny thing here is I watched you play this, so I know you played it.
No, and you're right, I did. It's just that when Slarker was saying Gumshoes, like, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, because I remember seeing, I mean, I guess it's just I've seen so many young goose.
Well,
that,
dude, and I totally feel you on that, because I've seen so many young goose.
And it's also nearly 1 a.m., so, which would be 1 p.m.
Stop making
excuses. It would be 1 p.m. in Alolan time, though.
Right. So, as as you pointed out, we're running a little on time here. So once you've beaten the trial, you can. There's a couple of other story things that we'll let you guys explore. But let's jump ahead to the final trial on Mele Mele Island against Hala, where essentially he is a fighting type gym leader. Since they don't really have gym leaders, they're kind of using the kahunas in that fashion.
The grand trial.
Well, and I actually like that more because it ends up, due to the story focus and the way they build these kahunas up, it ends up feeling like a bigger event than I think gym battles have become. Like, you know, it's almost like clockwork at this point. I don't even think about like what gym battle I'm doing. I just look at like what type it is and I'm done.
Yeah.
And so this, I feel like, brings a lot more personality to it. Sort of the way gym battles worked in the anime in previous years, where you get to know these characters, they have dialogue, and then they fight. You know, and I'm specifically thinking of like the Sun Moon, and you have that like electric gym leader who like is a main character on the show. You know, having a storyline focus on these gym leaders or kahunas in this case, to me, it makes the battle feel more involved. It's more personal, to bring it back to that word that Sly Kick was using earlier. And to me, it just increases the payoff.
Yeah,
so much.
I don't miss gyms at all, honestly.
Perfect. Well, that covers all of Mele Mele Island in short. I did just want to talk about where we are as far as like who's on our Poke team before we jump over to the anime. I'll go ahead and start this one off since I've got my game open right now. So on my team, obviously I've got Rowlet, which has evolved into a Dotrick. I have obviously a Growlithe, because you can catch those in the game. The evolved version of Pikapek, which I can't remember the name of.
Trumbeak,
yes. Alolan Meowth, which I called Liberace. My Munchlax, which if you guys haven't logged in to get your mystery gift,
yes,
Munchlax,
do
that, because it comes with the Snorlaxium Z. So that's something you can use to get that Snorlax Z move that we've seen in the trailers.
And even without the Snorlaxium Z, like, it just has some really great moves that are very helpful in the early game.
Definitely. And then my last one, so I have a water type of Slowpoke. What about you, Slykick? Who's your team?
Well, some of my team has come on the second island
That's fine. Just in brief, what's your team?
So I will leave it with what my team was as I was finishing up.
I'm going to talk about my current team, so just talk about your current team.
Okay, so, well, I have a couple of friends that I made on Mele Mele Island. Of course, I had my Popplio, who is at this point a Brionne. I had a Grubbin that I caught on Mele Mele Island that is now a Charger Bug. I also got I have a Mudbray, and I now have a Salandit and a Stuffle. And I also caught a Sableye in 10 Carat Hill, which is on Mele Mele Island. She got summoned as part of your ally Pokemon. Like, there's someone in an ally Pokemon.
Cry for help.
The cry for help mechanic, which is a blessing or a curse, depending on what your goal is.
Truth.
I have fought too many Igglypuffs to call it a blessing, okay?
Don't even get me started on those Lillipups.
Right? Those two. What about you, Spike? What's your team?
All right. So, my Munchlax has become a Snorlax. His name is Munchable. I do have my Litten, who is now a Terracat, and that is Flame Meow. I have my former Pichu, who is now a Pikachu, who is named Pikachu. I have a Gengar, who is named Gengar. A Trumbeak, who is named Trumbeak. And a Magikarp, who is named Magikrap.
Taking it back. Are we saying our names?
Say our name, say our name.
So I already mentioned Awkwafina. My Charger Bug is Tesla. My Salandit is named Sizzler.
Delicious.
My Stuffle is named Bear Hug.
Who cares?
My Growlithe is Mouse, which is a throwback to the Dresden Files. What is the thing called? Trumbeak is called Jesse, which I won't explain why. McHonzo is my Rowlet. Liberace is the Meow. Glutton is the Munchlax. And Bra is my Slowbro.
Hey, Bra.
So that about wraps it up for our discussion here.
Well, there's one important thing that I think we haven't talked about, and I think we should probably devote a minute or two to. And I'd like to ask you, overall, what are your thoughts so far? What do you think of the game? How is Sun and Moon landing for you, Sulker?
It's probably the greatest Pokemon game to date, and I love it. And if it were a person, I would marry it. No offense to you.
I would kill it.
I mean, you probably would try, but it's got a lot of Pokies, so they would fight you.
And then they summon allies.
And then they summon allies.
Oh, no.
They'd all be Lillipups, Spike.
On the real, though, the game is probably one of the tightest versions of this series to date, if not the greatest version of this game and what it could be. I have enjoyed everything that I've played in the first 10 hours. I can only really look forward to catching more Pokemon, fighting more battles, and eventually getting to the metagame at the end. But I'm not even caring about that. I just really want to enjoy the story for what it is, and what it is beautiful. How do you feel, Slykic?
I mean, if I didn't enjoy doing this podcast so much, I would want to be playing right now. It's just so engaging. And I mean, and I've always loved the Pokemon games, but like, you know, some of the different Pokemon games have either had, there's like, sometimes the pacing has been weird with them. Like, this game is so well paced.
Ruby Sapphire in particular was really tough for me in that regard.
I seem to remember that one being really tough as well. But this game is just really well paced. I feel that the experience share helps me make sure that my Pokies stay at an appropriate level. I don't feel that I'm like radically over leveling. I don't feel that I'm also needing to do a lot of grinding. Like I spent about maybe like 15 minutes grinding so that Sizzler can learn a better fire move to help with one of the trial captains on the second island. But I mean, like compared to times where like, oh, well, I've got to level 10 more levels before the next gym leader and I've already fought all the trainers. You know, there's not like any crazy gaps like that. But I mean, just like the way that the story is presented makes it so much more compelling. And like, you know, I mean, Pokemon story, LOL, you know, but I think it's really taken it a step further from X and Y, which, you know, X and Y, I really did start to care about the story. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that was pretty crazy. Some of the deeper lore of that game. So I'm really excited because there's already, you know, tidbits that we already can tell from just the first 10 hours about how this is going to shake down. And I love it. It's ambitious and it's great and it's the best. And I'm going to go play it after we're done recording.
And what about you, Spike?
You know, I've read a lot of reviews that have called this the best Pokemon game so far, and I am absolutely inclined to agree. I think it clicks on every level. I think the presentation is unparalleled, both among other Pokemon games and just generally JRPGs in general. Like, most JRPGs I've played could learn a thing or two from the presentation of Sun and Moon. Like, for real. I am absolutely impressed. I am absolutely delighted. I don't think I've ever had a game that I was so into that I, like, played it while recording a podcast before today, where I was for a good 10 minutes there. I'm working through a couple of things on the Japanese release of Sun. So if that isn't a real testament to how much I'm loving it, I don't know what is. The minute we are done here, I'm grabbing me an ice cream and I'm playing more Pokemon.
All right. Well, in that, if you have any questions or comments or just thoughts on this discussion topic for the first island, feel free to mention us over at stabcast.org on Twitter.
Stabcast.org on Twitter.
Stabcast with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
D-O-T-O-R-G.
That's how we do it.
Or you can message any of us directly. So I believe that will be where we leave this. Until next time, we will cover Island 2. Let's kick it over to Slagkick for some anime discussion.
All right. Today we're discussing Sun and Moon Episodes 1 and 2 and Generations Episode 4. We will be picking back up with Pokemon XY at a later date. We just, right now, it's all about the Sun and Moon hype. So, you know, we'll just give you kind of the spoiler-free TV guide synopsis since we are using fan subs. You know, this is fresh off the presses, so...
Yes!
Fresh, but, you know. So, episodes 1 and 2 aired as an hour-long, 45 minutes or whatever, you know, but hour-long special consisting of episode 1 and episode 2. So, Sun and Moon episode 1 is Alola, New Islands, New Pokemon. And the synopsis that I wrote for this is, while vacationing with his mother in Alola, Ash meets new friends and discovers new Pokemon. An encounter with Tapu Koko, the island deity, results in a special gift for Ash that holds the power to unlocking an amazing secret in Alola. Now,
you wrote that?
I did.
Oh,
well done.
Yeah, because the only real good source of information I found right now is Serebii.net, and they asked to not have their things repeated, so, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so I came up with that on my own.
Well done.
So I see here that you had a couple highlights you wanted to point out.
Yeah, I wanted to really quickly, though, address the animation style change. You know, that was a very controversial switch for the series, but I think it, you know, is so much more expressive now. The characters are just, like, really, you know, like, you think of a lot of anime, it's like, oh, you know, they just stand there and talk, but, you know, like, the animation's really fluid, and, you know, it's fun, it's a lot more physical, and...
It's kind of like you're watching a Miyazaki film, but it's
yeah.
anime about Pokemon.
Yeah, I would definitely agree there. I think it just made me, and I don't know if it's just that we didn't have to look at his same dumb face that we've been seeing for the past 20 years, but Satoshi or Ash, you know, looks like, you know, like just the fact that he looks different and he's more expressive made me like less irritated having to like look at him all the time. Like, I think it's a lot, the design's a lot more cartoony-ish than, you know, traditional, you know, more anime look, but I really like it. Some things that like really struck me, and I mean, I'm hoping that it at least carries over as much as it can in the dub, is that it was like really funny. We're talking about when one of the reasons they came to vacation in Alola was because Professor Oak had wanted them to bring something to his cousin, Samson Oak, and so like they, instead of being like a full flashback, they like did a fast forward version. It's like, and then like when they wanted to go back and clarify, like they did a rewind version, and I was just like cackling. Like, I thought it was just like a really funny gag. There's a really silly moment because a lot of it's, you know, Ash was like, whoa, look at this Pokemon, whoa, look at this Pokemon, and he ends up seeing a Beware, and the Beware is just like, like runs after him. And as you know about Beware, if you've been listening, Beware just wants to hug everyone, which is adorable, but Beware is just like knocking over trees.
Yeah, that segment was so fun and really emblematic of overall why this take on the material is really working for me, because it was so weird, but it was just like really legitimately funny, not just like the half forced laughter of what you get at the gags in like X and Y sometimes.
Yeah, and of course, on a personal note, I loved everything about Professor Kukui, favorite professor of all time. What did you think, Sulker, about episode one?
I really enjoyed the story to episode one, from Ash's mom, basically, or Ash's Mr. Mime's mom, the Mr. Mime of the family.
Ash's mom's Mr. Mime.
I just call that Ash's dad, okay? It's, well, Ash's dad from here
yeah,
on out.
Pretty much.
So I love that he won them a trip to Alola, and I really did enjoy that fast-forward exposition. I enjoyed everything about Professor Oak's cousin, because I just thought he was silly as hell. I enjoyed meeting all of the characters that are going to be Ash's friends throughout the series. I'm sorry, Satoshi's friends throughout the series. And the kind of somewhat climactic battle at the end of the episode, where we do get to see Team Skull in the anime versus seeing them in the video game, which is, they're so strange and goofball-y. I love them.
Yeah, me too.
But that's basically my thoughts on this episode. I loved it.
Yeah, and I mean, and the thing is, like, I know that based on the intro sequence, you know, the opening credits, we know that Jesse and James and Meowth are going to be back, but it just gives me a lot of hope for, you know, because, like, there was a lot going on in this first of the two episodes. So I'm really hoping that that's the case for moving forward, unless any of you have any last thoughts.
Well, so my thoughts, because you didn't really ask me to sum them up, you know, I thought that a lot of the comedic bits actually really worked, which I was super into. This is almost more of like a gag anime than the like pseudo melodrama of some of like X and Y and some of the earlier seasons. And it ended up working for me. I ended up entertained a lot more. I felt a lot more invested and involved. I'm kind of eating my hat here, because before this, I was like, oh, this is awful. This is such a bad choice. Who made this call? Someone's going to get fired or should. And now I'm just like, nope, I was wrong. I take it all back. Pokemon as a gag anime works so much better. And, you know, they still keep the really lush, well-animated combat sequences. You know, there's going to be a little more about that in episode two. I just overall very impressed, very happy with the premiere. Do you want to take it up for that second episode now?
Yeah, and I mean, something that's really cool, like we kind of mentioned, is that the story seems to be shaping up different than the game. So, you know, that's something that's been really interesting to compare as we've been starting both the anime and the games. Sun and Moon episode 2 is called Enter the Guardian Deity Tapu Koko. Let us attempt to master our Z-move. So, minor spoiler, I mean, I think we kind of figured it out based on all the previews. Ash ends up staying in Alola so that he can attend the Pokemon Trainer School, which, like we said, appears like it's going to be playing a big part. A lot of the other teen characters in the from the games are the students at the school, and Professor Kukui and Samson Oak are, you know, teachers there, and so that's going to be really interesting to see that dynamic. So anyway, as they're throwing Ash a welcoming party, there's another encounter with Tapu Koko, who seems to want to challenge Ash to a battle, and it's kind of all about unlocking the power of these Z moves. Seeing the Z moves in both the episodes are just amazing. It's like very, you know, very like, I mean, like Dragon Ball, like power moves almost, like, you know, it's like they're just so awesomely animated and like over the top, you know. And like I also kind of felt like some Naruto vibes as well, you know. So it's in some ways like it's almost more shonen anime than it ever has been. I don't know if you would agree, but
I would, to the degree that, and you know, it has the combat sequences, and they are way more over the top than they used to be, I think. And yeah, I've enjoyed
that so far. We'll see if that holds through, but I really thought it was a cool way, and I like that, you know, Tapu Koko seems to have like a special soft spot for Ash or whatever. We got to see a little spotlight of Alolan Exeggutor, and so, you know, just kind of starting to introduce the Alolan forms. And it's like there was a really funny little gag with the Alolan Exeggutor, you know. Of course, having, being so tall, like its neck is all the way out the window and everything. And I really enjoyed getting to know the other characters too. It's another refreshing change of pace that it's not just like, oh, the girl character, and then, you know, maybe some other child who accompanies it. Like, you know, because we had May and Max from back in whatever generation that was. And then, you know, Bonnie and Clement, you know. So, like, I like that it seems like it's going to be a much different sort of take on Ash and his friends traveling around.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that statement.
What were your highlights, Spike?
It would easily just be the Z moves, seeing them, you know, seeing Pikachu's Z move with Ash was just like, you know, this was like some Dragon Ball Z over 9,000 nonsense, and I'm super here for that nonsense. So I really was digging it.
Really quickly before I pass it off to Sulker, I think it was kind of funny that, you know, Ash's new friends are kind of like, oh, he don't even know about Alola, you know, kind of were like challenging him to these like little games that like he was losing. But Ash has been around the block. I mean, Ash is not a rookie, even if he never has won a Pokemon.
I was just gonna say that,
you know. So I think that showing off the power of the Z move and showing that he has that potential of, like, yeah, you know, he is pretty
to
OP,
be a
yeah.
Pokemon master is my destiny.
Sucker.
What I really like about these two episodes combined is that it really feels more like a story, more like you're getting an actual anime out of this than just the episodic nonsense of most episodes of Pokemon. I mean, I love Pokemon. Don't get me wrong. The anime has always been a fun, like, little way for me to de-stress from the real world that we live in. But this feels like something that I could actually get engaged in, something that I'm going to want to keep up on every week. The little interactions with the surprises that they give Satoshi every episode in that second episode, and how they kind of, you know, in essence are messing with him to kind of become his friend, and then to see the way that he reacts to them, and that they're all having these little real relationships with each other, as opposed to just the two-dimensional things that we've been getting in X and Y. I mean, I can't speak to X, Y, and Z or any of the other Kalos Quest stuff, but from just comparing X and Y to this is, like, amusingly night and day. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to the next episode, and I can't speak highly enough about it, despite the fact that there's a lot of gags, which just really makes it feel more like real life and good times.
Yeah, I think it's a nice change of tone, because, you know, one of the things that I agree with you is that, like, sometimes you both had said this at some point, is that, you know, like, the old show kind of was a little melodramatic. Not old, but, you know, previous seasons have tended to go really melodramatic and kind of take itself a little too seriously, like, in a way that almost was, like, too cheesy. So, I mean, it's, like, just having a lot of fun with the ideas so far. All right, wrapping it up with Generations 4, the Lake of Rage. And the official YouTube description for this is, with rumors of a Red Gyarados rampaging in the Lake of Rage, Lance of the Elite Four decides to investigate. I love this one. I have a very special spot in my heart for Gold and Silver. I just really adore those games. I love the Red Gyarados from those games. I really like Lance from the Elite Four. I've always thought he was badass. So I just absolutely was living for this one, you know, and it's just, again, I just wish that we had more. I wish it wasn't just going to be a limited time promotion, you know?
Yeah, the more episodes of Generations I see, the more upset I get that it's only going to be going through December.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys.
So we will be bringing more anime to you next time.
Were we not going to talk about the actual episode itself, or?
What did you have to say about it?
I mean, I just thought it was a great little subplot where you get to see the Team Rocket is messing things up again. You find all those cute, was it Electrodes or the other one?
Voltorbs?
Voltorbs. Was it Voltorbs or Electrodes? It was Electrodes.
And I believe so.
And how Lance with his Dragonite are just basically busting through doors, kicking ass, taking no names, because they don't care about names. They care about freeing the Pokemon. And that's all I had to say, I guess. Whatever.
Well, and you know, I agree with you that it was great, and this is sort of the problem. Like, the more, if we talk about an episode of Generations for more than like 2 minutes, it's like, okay, just watch Generations, because it's not 2 minutes. That having been said, I completely agree with you. I thought it was great. One of my favorite things of these Generations episodes is seeing the way that a society would form, like the little details of how society would sort of absorb Pokemon into its existence, and how like sort of existent structures of like societal infrastructure and how that would translate to a world with Pokemon. Like, for example, with all the Electorbs or Voltorbs or whatever. I just, those little touches are just a real treat for me personally. Overall, really enjoyed this episode. Anything else, Slaggy?
Nope. Unless anyone has any thoughts, we'll be bringing you more anime discussion next time.
All right. Exciting. Well, then let's move on and talk a little bit about the new releases for the card game. Since the last time we recorded, two new items have been popping up in stores. The first is the Evolutions expansion. This is the expansion we've talked about quite a bit on this show, which is sort of like bringing some of the moldy oldies of the Pokemon card game up to like modern day specs in terms of like power levels and stuff. I'm really enjoying it as like a throwback expansion. I think it's really cool. Have you guys had a chance to grab any Evolutions cards yet? What do you guys think?
I haven't yet, so I'm going to pass it off to Salker.
Yeah, they're cool cards.
Okay. We also have the two Alola promo boxes. As discussed, I had gotten the one for the Moon box. We have Salker, who got the Sun box. I believe we overall both had positive things to say about those.
Definitely. I really enjoyed the Solage Leo cards. I like the EX card. I kind of wish that they'd given me one that I could use in play, not just like this big promo card.
Dude, right?
That's where I got my Surfing Pikachu. I got a bunch of shinies. I really enjoyed it. I took a lot of pictures. And the fig's cool and cute. I like it.
Awesome. We also have the Meloetta box coming out. I haven't seen it in stores, but supposedly it came out a couple of days ago. Has anyone here seen it yet?
I have not.
I don't actually know what that is.
All right. Well, then we will keep looking. unless anyone else has anything else to say, let's start wrapping this up by talking about our Pokemon of the week.
Just really quickly, I just looked up. The first Google result I got says that pre-orders start shipping in January. At least that's what ToyWiz.com is saying. So,
ToyWiz, I don't always accept ToyWiz's word on things, but if the list of release dates I have is wrong, I will look into that. Interesting.
Alrighty.
Alright, moving forward, our Pokemon of the week is Litten. This is Pokedex entry 725. Litten is the Fire Cat Pokemon, known as Nyabi in Japanese. His Pokedex entry in Sun is, while grooming itself, it builds up fur inside its stomach. It sets the fur alight and spews fiery attacks which change based on how it coughs. In Moon, the Pokedex says, it doesn't allow its emotions to be easily seen. Earning its trust takes time. It prefers solitude. So, yeah, that's why Litten is my favorite, because that could have been written about me.
Aww.
We don't have a whole lot of appearances for it yet in the card game, in the manga or anything, but in the anime, first off, of course, Litten does pop up in the little, like, episode title card animation, which is super cute. And in the first episode of Sun and Moon, there's a really comedic sequence where Satoshi steps on a Litten's tail and gets a fire furball in the face for
it.
I was cackling. I picked Litten as my Pokemon of the week because it's one of the three starters, and I wanted it represented here, so here we are.
Quick update from Bulbapedia. Their article article from back in January says the Meloetta box is in December, so that sounds, I would trust Bulbapedia over ToyWiz.
Yeah, and my understanding is that typically these boxes arrive in stores on the 15th of the month before. So if that's supposed to be like the December mythical, that's probably why I have it here on November 15th.
Hmm.
Even though that could certainly be incorrect. So I guess check your local store before you go in if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
All right, well, with all of that having been said, it's time for our link cables. Slaggy, do your Sulker, do one of you want to take this?
Sure, I've got some tweets loaded up here. We have a tweet from Your Enzyme, which is a video called Pokemon Evolving the Gaming Community. It's just a short little video. We'll retweet it over for you, about 5 minutes long. A great way to kind of look back at the history of our beloved Pokemon.
Awesome.
In response to our question of the week, we had our question of the week was Alola. This week we'll be discussing the beginnings of our Alolan adventures. How has your Sun and Moon experience started out? Ben Active says, I am inexplicably in love with Skull Gruntby. Our love was formed on the field of battle. It's been weird.
Yes.
Yeah. I look forward to sending them wedding gifts in the near future.
Aw. And in response to the Poke of the Week, we said our Pokemon of the Week is Trainer Spike's new favorite Litten. What do you think of this adorable flaming kitten of love? JD says, I love it. I kept going aw for a good half hour at my
right
game as I discover things. The cry, petting the cat, etc. And CP says, Rowlet is super adorbs, though.
That seeps.
Yeah, and you're right that Rowlet is super adorb.
They're
but
all so
it's
cute.
Not a standoffish flaming kitten of love with the cutest little meow cry you've ever heard.
I have to say, they knocked it out of the park. You know, sometimes there's been a starter or two that you're like, eh, about. I mean, at least for me. But all three of them are just so cute, and I love all the evolutions.
And
so.
I want to give big ups to the cries that all three make, especially when you're like first selecting them. They're just all really cute. Like, all of them, based on their little cry sounds, I was like, I want to hug the baby.
Indeed.
All right.
We love your feedback. Thank you to those of you who are always responding to us. We do this for you. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and we always appreciate any ratings, reviews, and spreading the word. We really appreciate your listenership. We like your Facebook likes. We effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
We basically live on Twitter.
I literally live on Twitter. I'm not even here right now.
We got a Tumblr. We would have a Google Plus, but does anyone even use those anymore?
Nah.
And if you need to email us, you can mail us at mail@stabcast.org. You can probably
mail@stabcast.org.
Mail@stabcast.org. At anything at stabcast.org, because stabcast.org is our domain name. So moving on, Spike. Can you shout us out to
Alola?
Can you say Alola to some other friends of ours in the podcasting world?
Yeah. You should check out the Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can hear such shows as PokeStop. Join podcasting veterans Rob Roberts and Shane Alenko for a regular chat on Pokemon topics like the handheld games, Pokemon Go, and spinoffs of the franchise. You can also hear the show on which Slagkick and I appear, GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And last but never ever least, the Ranger Pride Cast, where myself and Shane Alenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series.
Just finished.
As well as the current season of the Japanese Super Sentai meta series upon which it's based.
Thankfully,
it's
still going.
Slykick, what about you? Who do you shout to?
Well, we just wrapped up the latest season of Reading is Fundamental, the podcast for myself, Spike, and our buddies Delvin from VG Realness and Rob Roberts from all the other shows we mentioned serve tea and dish on everything Drag Race. So if you're a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, we get pretty catty like a Litten on there. Go check it out. And of course, Rob Roberts is from the longest running radio show on the internet about video games. That's Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice. We basically owe our podcasting existence to Rob and OLR. Sulker.
It's super effective. PKMN Cast, a Pokemon website for news and reviews that explores the ins and outs of the Pokemon franchise, covering the games, anime, and beyond. All this and a weekly podcast. Mythical, Mazes and Magikarps, taking two of the best aspects of geek life, GM White Wing hosts a troop of unlikely heroes as they explore the Pokemon world of the past with this classic D&D classes and villains, which has just ended its second season.
Oh, that's awesome.
Extra Life, a fundraising foundation organization that once a year runs a 25-hour marathon of gaming to provide assistance to the Children Miracle Network of Hospitals. This was my fourth year participating, and the fund goals that we made was over $2,000 for our team, the Alliance.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we did help out some kids, and hope to continue gathering your support over the next year.
And now, can listeners out there donate at any time, or?
They can still donate for this year's Extra Life event, which you can find a link to over at stabcast.org.
Stabcast.org!
And you can donate to myself or any of the team members on the Alliance. If you want direct links, feel free to message me on Twitter and I can send you those. Slagkick, I believe we have music?
We do. It's great music. We have theme music done by Nathan Sharp, better known on the interwebs as Nate Wants to Battle. We have Professor Sycamore's theme as done by Nathan Sharp, and, you know, just go check out what he does. Lots of great anime and video game covers and parodies, and he's been doing some, like, video game voice work, too. Seems like a really cool guy from everything I know.
Indeed. All right, well, with all that having been said, it's time to let all of y'all out there in internet radio land go to sleep. So, I hope you've had half as much fun listening to us as we've had talking to you. We look forward to coming back at you in another week or two, but until then, keep training, keep catching, and...
Kaze to tamago to unbattle.
Alola!
Hoo-wee! That gave me chicken skin!
Mic check, mic check.
Check, 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 Czech Republic.
You're listening to the PKMN Radio.
Alola.
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 Lola.
Alola.
Alola.
Lolala. La 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 lola.
Congratulations.
Wark.
Lunala.
Solashalilishalilililolilashalilololio. Kakuna Ratata.